This one incident still haunts me to this day. I'm a 22-year-old female, but this happened when I was 18. I still haven't moved out, and I was living with my family. It was my sister Judy's 16th birthday. Judy wanted to stay at a hotel and celebrate with her friends. My parents didn't want her to go alone, so we all planned for a staycation in a countryside hotel. My dad was taking care of the entire accommodation of 7 to 8 people, so we could afford a 3-star hotel. The decor and the condition were quite good, and the staff was also helpful. When we checked in, we got into the rooms on the 3rd floor. We ate later that day, and Judy went for a walk at the riverbed nearby with her friends. I wanted to have some time for myself, so I decided to stay back. I was reading in my room when my mom called me and asked if I can go to the front desk to get some more pillows for my sister's friends. As much as I hated these unwanted chores, I didn't refuse my mom. I grabbed my room key and started walking all the way out to the elevator. The corridor was empty and dimly lit. Maybe that's why I didn't notice the man until he moved into the corner. Yes, a man was sitting on the floor, mumbling some gibberish. He had a small dump of pebbles in front of him that he was counting in a very creepy way. His hair was all shaggy, and the coat he wore had a very strong smell, somewhat like a goat. As I silently walked past him, he lifted his head and smiled at me, flashing his bloodshot eyes. It took me only a second to figure out that this dude was Milky Way high. I ignored him and got into the elevator. He watched me without even blinking as the elevator door closed. I grabbed the pillow from the dash and went back to the elevator. On the way up, my heart was beating fast. I expected the man to be gone, but as soon as the elevator door opened, I found him in the same spot. He was sitting there, humming creepily while rocking his body back and forth. I started walking down the hallway when I had a gut feeling to turn around. As I did, I saw that the man had started to follow me. I panicked and started to walk faster down the hall. He was chuckling weirdly while looking straight into my soul. His senseless rant was scaring the crap out of me. I felt like he was chanting some spells or something. My survival instincts kicked in, and instead of stopping in front of Judy's room, I rushed straight to my parents. I expected the door to be open, but I twisted the doorknob and realized my parents were enjoying their alone time. But the man did not stop following me yet, so I started panicking and kicking the door. It was embarrassing to ruin my parents' privacy, but what choice did I have? The man kept walking towards me, stretching his arms out like he was dying to touch me. His long, sharp fingernails were filled with dirt. Seeing my parents were taking their time to open the door, I could not stay put. I started screaming, "Dad, open the door! Dad, please just open the door!" The moment I called out to my dad, the creepy behavior changed. He looked away from me, then slowly tilted his head to the right. His left eye twitched, and then he said out loud, "Oh, Dad." There was disbelief in his voice, as if he expected me to be alone in this hotel. What he did after will be forever imprinted on my memory. He started backing away, but not in the usual way. He didn't turn around. He didn't run. He just slowly started backing away while watching me the entire time. Finally, my dad opened the door, and I started crying. I was too old to cry like that, but my dad understood something very serious was happening. He took me in and my mom gave me water to calm me down. Once I contained myself and told my parents everything, my dad went to go look for him, but after searching the entire floor, they didn't find him. I couldn't sleep the rest of the night, but whenever I closed my eyes, I swear I could see the man crouched down in the corner of my room, chuckling at me. The next morning when I woke up, I went down for breakfast, and I saw 2 cop cars parked outside the hotel entrance. My dad was talking to a tall, handsome officer. When he saw me, he called out to me. My dad asked me to tell the officers about the man from last night. So far, we believe that the man was probably some homeless addict and needed to sneak inside a hotel, by what the cops told me. but what the cops told me afterwards sent shivers down my spine. A family staying on the ground floor has filed for a missing person report this morning. Their 7-year-old daughter left their room to get some M&Ms from a vending machine last night, but never returned. The couple must have thought that the daughter had wandered off and got lost, so they contacted the front desk and asked them to check the footage of the front gate security camera. In a footage of 4 a.m., the same man from last night could be seen carrying the little girl on his shoulder and walking past the gate. The girl seemed like she was sleeping, but the police suspect that she was knocked out unconscious. I gave the cops all the information I could about the man, but sadly, they never found him or the girl ever again. Just be careful where you meet a stranger. I'm a student from Iloilo, a city in the Philippines. Iloilo is a clean, wonderful city where hardly any crime takes place. We live in the suburbs as my dad and my uncle run a farm together. It was Sunday afternoon. I was watching over my niece and nephew at my uncle's house. Our family went to this farmer fair happening in the city to sell our dairy products and other harvests. My niece and nephew were about 6 and 8 years old, and I had a lot of fun being around them. We were watching TV in the living room when I got a call from my dad. He said that he had a flat tire on their way home and would be stuck on the highway until any help arrived. I assured him that I'd make dinner for the kids and myself so that he had nothing to worry about. Around 5:30, when the sunlight was almost gone, I went to the kitchen to prepare some rice and chicken. My uncle had this big chicken coop in the backyard, so eggs and chicken were the two most common ingredients in every meal. I drain the rice and insert the chicken legs to boil in a broth when I notice the bush outside the kitchen window was moving. At first, I thought it was the wind, but the second time it moved, I felt weird. Bushes only move like this when a rabbit or a raccoon was hiding in it. I ignored thinking about it and went back to my meal prep. Once I was done cooking, my nephew asked me for some scrambled eggs. I checked the fridge and realized that all the eggs were taken to the fair for sale. I love my niece and nephew a lot, so I didn't want to say no to their face. I told them to stay inside and play video games till I went to the chicken coop and came back with some fresh eggs. Being the sweet little munchkins they were, they nodded their tiny heads and waited for me. There was still some light outside, so I didn't need to take a flashlight with me. I stepped into the backyard from the back kitchen door, and as I stepped out of the kitchen coop, a rush of cold sweat dripped down my spine. I don't know why I felt like this, but something inside the coop just didn't feel welcoming to me. The coop was in darkness, and I regretted not bringing a flashlight with me, but I only needed like 3 or 4 eggs, so I decided to be quick and get it done with. I had to close the door behind me so the chickens didn't escape. But once I did that, I found myself standing in this stuffy room, highly scented with the smell of chicken poop and rotten hay, with a single ray of dying sunlight coming from the ventilator at the top. If you haven't been around chickens, then you probably don't know this. Even though they're pretty noisy birds, once the sun sets, they all fall into this uncomfortable slumber and doze like some old grannies. So along the smell and darkness, the chicken's eerie silence made my overthinking mind run wild. All the horror movies I watched so far kept flashing into my eyes. Just stop overthinking it and be a man. I kept saying this to myself. I slowly started to check the chickens' nests one by one. For 5 minutes, I found nothing. I just kept grabbing all over the place. But then in the corner, with the help of dying sunlight, I spotted 3 eggs resting in an empty chicken nest. Thinking the chicken living there must have just gone on to another nest somewhere in the coop, I victoriously walked towards it to collect the eggs. But as I reached the dark corner, I heard the sound of heavy breathing. I stared into the pitch-black darkness, holding the 3 eggs in my hand. 1 second gone by, 2 seconds gone by, and then I saw two wide eyes open in the dark. Just a pair of two big eyes with red veins bursting from them. The sound of breathing got heavier as their eyes noticed me. I could feel my legs frozen to the ground, and no matter how much I wanted to run, I couldn't. I tried to scream for my niece and nephew, but nothing but a soft groan came out of my throat. And then I heard the sound of chewing. The eyes were still fixed on me, but I could tell the owner of the eyes was chewing on something. The crisp and crackle echoed into the dead, silent coop. I don't remember how long I was standing like that, staring into those vicious pair of eyes and hearing the crackling chomp echo. But suddenly, I heard my nephew's voice calling out to me. I can't let those kids be near whatever is hiding in the dark. I grasped the eggs so hard to my chest that they smashed and broke with pressure. When I ran and came out of the coop, my niece pointed at my t-shirt and started laughing. I realized that I was drenched in egg yolk. I went inside the house and locked every single door and window. I didn't tell my niece and nephews about it, as for them not to panic, because I would do anything to protect them. I told them to shush for a while as I turned off the television to see if I could hear any footsteps or rustling sounds, but I didn't. An hour later, our parents came back and I told my dad and uncle everything. They immediately went to the coop with flashlights and found a dead chicken laying in that corner. Its head was gone. Whatever was watching me in that coop chewed off its head and left the lifeless body of the poor bird. It's been 3 months since the incident. My uncle and dad have heightened the security around the farm so that no trespassers can enter without getting caught. Whatever was in that dark chicken coop, I pray that we never find out. I'm a 17-year-old male, and this happened last summer when I got into my senior year. My friend and I were working at a theater over the summer break as tech assistants. We were appointed to arrange the lighting for a show there. The show was a few days away, and we were in rehearsals. After hours of tiresome work, we got hungry and decided to order a pizza. We called our local pizza place asking for a large cheese pizza, but whoever answered the call sounded like an AI or some freakish robot that had just learned to talk. We honestly thought it was just a new feature introduced by this pizza place in taking orders. We continued ordering with the robot. It was kind of weird, but it was asking normal questions like the delivery address and things like that. Halfway through the call, I began hearing a silent noise of typing in the background. Someone was listening to my responses and typing them up. I didn't think much of it, though, but looking back, I feel I should have. The robot told us the pizza would be delivered in approximately 17 minutes, which was very specific. Half an hour went by, and the pizza didn't reach our location. I dialed up the pizza place once again. I tried to call back the number, but somehow the call didn't go through, even after 3 and 4 tries. It was strange because I took it from their website. This is when things started to get very fishy. I called and called and nobody answered. I then called to a different number that appeared from a Google search, and this time a human voice spoke. I asked about the details of my order. Surprisingly, they said that they hadn't gotten a call within the last 45 minutes. My friend and I stared at each other, feeling confused, but then I thanked the guy on the other end of the phone and hung up. At this point, my friend was still going on about ordering a pizza when a number I hadn't seen before called me. I picked it up, and a suspicious-sounding man with a weird accent spoke to me.
"Did you make an order for a large cheese pizza around 30 minutes ago?"
I answered yes. The strange man asked me for the delivery address again. I hesitated for a second, but then gave him our location. I should never have done that. The man proceeded to tell me that the pizza would be delivered in 15 minutes. My friend and I weren't even sure if the pizza was going to come at that point. Also, I didn't even want it anymore.
2 hours later, the rehearsals were over, and the pizza still hadn't arrived. I blocked the number and decided to never pick up unknown calls again. After saying bye to my friend, I got in my car and headed home. My house was 20 minutes distance from the theater, so I was relieved that it wouldn't take long to get home. Around 5 minutes into my drive, I started noticing a car following me. It was a dark red car, on the smaller side, with a sign that had the name of a pizza place on the top bonnet. I thought that maybe the car was just driving back to the pizza place after a delivery or something, as the restaurant was in the same direction I was headed to. But once I passed the turn to get past the pizza place, the red car passed it too. It just continued to follow me. I made a specific turn to get to my street, and the car made the same turn right after me. I was a little freaked out, but also annoyed. I stupidly pulled over to see if the car would do the same, and of course, it did. Clenching my car keys in my hand, I got out of my car. My heart was racing in a panic, but I wanted to find out what this dude's problem was. There was a creepy-looking man in the driver's seat of the red car. I walked over to his window, and he rolled it down to talk to me. I asked him why he was following me, and what did he want. He looked ragged and pretty effed up from his attire. The cheap scent of booze was all over him, and half his teeth were rotten. He looked blankly at me for a few moments, then leaned onto his back seat to grab something. I couldn't make out what it was, so I started to step back. I'd suspected it'd be a weapon, but instead, he brought out a pizza box. He showed me the box and asked,
"Did you order this large cheese pizza? I have it right here for you."
He kept staring at me up and down. This man sounded exactly like the suspicious call from earlier. I nodded my head, saying no. He again asked,
"Are you sure you didn't order this large cheese pizza?"
His creepy emphasis on the term large and peculiar made me terrified. I said no, and suddenly he screamed,
"Are you sure? It's very large, you know. You might like it."
He reached out to give me the pizza, but his other hand was out. It looked like he was ready to grab me or do something horrible to me. I sprinted back to my car and locked the doors instantly. I looked through the side view mirrors, and he was still staring at me. I drove away immediately to my friend's house and stayed the night at his place. We kept looking at the driveway the entire night to see if any red car was patrolling the area, but hopefully we didn't. To this day, I wonder what would have happened if I reached out to grab the pizza.